Welcome to the Deep Dive. I'm Charlie Sansbury, your guide as we, well, dive deep into some complex topics. And today we're tackling something pretty monumental, looking right at the core of America's scientific research and, crucially, its nuclear security infrastructure.
And I'm Erin Kohlberg. It's great to be here to help unpack what's happening. We're talking about a huge, complex enterprise facing some really significant shifts.
Absolutely. So our mission for this deep dive, it's ambitious. We want to give you a really granular, exhaustive analysis of what looks like a generational market opportunity. The title really says it all. Why the U.S. Department of Energy, the DOE Labs, and the National Nuclear Security Administration need to adopt Cloudera to innovate, secure, and accelerate speed to mission.
Yeah, that title definitely sets the stage. I mean, we're looking at the organization that manages the nation's nuclear weapons, but also leads the way in global scientific discovery. It's quite the combination. And right now, they're getting hit by two massive forces at the same time. First, there's this huge push towards AI and machine learning adoption.
Right, AI is everywhere.
Everywhere. And second, they're dealing with just unbelievable amounts of data being generated, especially from these new exascale supercomputers. And all of this, the AI, the massive data has to be managed while handling some of the most sensitive information on the planet.
Exactly. So this isn't just about, you know, installing some new software. It's about a fundamental strategic need, a platform modernization across the entire DOE and NSA complex. We're talking big numbers here, a multi-billion dollar opportunity potentially. The national labs alone have something like $54.2 billion in combined funding, and they all need a way to handle this vast, sensitive, and incredibly spread out data landscape.
That the spread out part is key. It's what they call a federated landscape.
Okay, so federated. Let's unpack that. What does that actually mean for how the DOE operates?
Well, think decentralized. It means you've got 17 national laboratories, places like Los Alamos and Livermore doing defense work, Oak Ridge and Argonne more focused on civilian science. Each lab is actually run by different contractors, M&O contractors, they call them. So you end up with these sort of separate tech kingdoms almost.
Okay. So not one unified system.
Not at all. It leads to fragmentation, data silos everywhere, massive challenges getting systems to talk to each other. And critically, it means the leadership at DOE headquarters often struggles to get a clear picture of what's happening across the entire enterprise.
Right. And while the structure is decentralized, the data itself is growing at just, well, an astronomical rate.
Yeah.
You mentioned the supercomputers, that investment in advanced scientific computing research is huge, right? Over $1 billion planned for FY26.
Exactly. That exascale data deluge, as some call it, is probably the biggest immediate technical pressure point. We've got three of these beasts operational now, Frontier, Aurora, and El Capitan, which is absolutely crucial for the NNSA's defense mission. That one's projected to hit almost 2.8 exaflops.
Okay. Help us wrap our heads around that. What does an exascale machine actually do that creates this data problem?
Well, they run incredibly complex simulations for climate change, for new energy sources, and in the NNSA's case, for ensuring the nuclear stockpile is safe and reliable without actual testing. These simulations spit out outputs measured in multiple petabytes. Traditional high-performance computing storage, it just can't keep up.
So it's not just big files, it's a constant stream.
It's continuous.
Yeah.
And think about the big science experiments, too, like the advanced photon source at Argonne. They're expecting to generate something like 100 to 200 petabytes a year after their upgrade. The old ways of moving and analyzing data, they just break down. It creates this massive bottleneck between generating the data and actually getting useful insights from it.
And this is where the DOE and NNSA environment gets really unique, right?
Yeah.
Because of the classified data.
Yeah.
This isn't like managing data for a regular company.
Not even close. This is the absolute core differentiator. The classified data introduces complexity that, frankly, cloud-only solutions just can't handle. We're mainly talking about data protected under the Atomic Energy Act. There's restricted data, or RD, which is basically anything about nuclear materials or weapon design. It's born classified.
Foreign classified, okay.
But then there's an even higher level.
Yeah.
Critical nuclear weapon design information, CNWDI.
And that needs the absolute maximum security.
It does. To handle CNWDI or other really sensitive stuff like intelligence data, you need facilities with air-gapped systems, physically disconnected from the internet. Often inside what's called SCIF, a sensitive compartmented information facility. If your platform only runs in the cloud, you're immediately disqualified for these critical workloads.
And getting people into those secure facilities to work is also a bottleneck.
Hugely expensive and slow. You need Q clearances, which are like the top secret equivalent for DOE. Getting one costs nearly $6,000 just for the investigation, involves a 10-year background check, and takes a long time. There's a shortage of people with these clearances, so you absolutely cannot afford to have them wasting time manually moving data around or waiting for slow processes. The platform has to work seamlessly inside these air-gapped secure environments.
They also need to collaborate on unclassified research, right?
Yeah.
Where the cloud flexibility would be useful.
Exactly. That's the tightrope they have to walk. The platform needs to support the super secure air-gapped stuff and allow collaboration on open science using cloud resources where it makes sense, like for training big AI models on public data. Finding a platform that can do both seamlessly is the challenge.
Which brings us to the NNSA's big strategic plan. They're not just reacting. They have a long-term vision.
They do. It's the NNSA's 2024 Enterprise Blueprint. It's basically a 25-year roadmap, and it explicitly calls out two key things they need to do. First, get rid of single-point failures. They need redundancy and resilience across their main sites. Second, they must leverage AI and advanced computing to deliver on their mission. You can't achieve either of those without a modern, distributed, resilient data architecture that works across the key labs, Los Alamos, Livermore, Sandia, and bridges those secure on-prem facilities with the cloud where needed.
Okay, so the scale, the sensitivity, the strategic vision, those are the big drivers. But what about the specific mandates, the things that say you must fix this now?
Right, the compliance drivers. There are a few really big ones pushing for change urgently. First up is security. Executive Order 14-28 mandates a shift to zero trust architecture across the federal government.
Zero trust, the never trust, always verify model.
Exactly. You have to continuously validate access for everyone to everything, no matter where they are or what data they're trying to touch. That's basically impossible to do effectively when your data is scattered across 17 different labs, each with its own security tools and rules. You absolutely need a single, unified way to manage and enforce security policies, a unified control plane.
And related to security, there's the whole issue of logging, right?
That's
a big cost center.
Oh, huge. OMB M2131 requires agencies to centralize and standardize their cybersecurity logs. The DOE, with its massive footprint, generates enormous amounts of log data. Traditionally, they rely on SIEM tools, like Splunk maybe, which charge based on how much data you feed into them, how much you index.
And the problem is they're indexing way more than they actually need for real-time security.
Precisely. Studies show something like 60% of the raw data going into these expensive SIEMs isn't really used for immediate threat hunting. It's older data, maybe needed for compliance audits down the road, but it's not hot data. So
yeah.
They're paying top dollar to store and index cold data. It's a massive budget drain.
So how does a platform like Cloudera address that specific pain point?
It offers a different approach, a data flow and logging lakehouse architecture. You use something like Cloudera Dataflow, which includes NiFi, to basically filter and enrich the logs before they even hit the expensive SIEM. You send only the critical hot data to the SIEM for real-time alerting. Then all the rest, the warm and cold data needed for longer-term analytics or compliance, gets stored much more cost-effectively in a data lakehouse built on open formats like Apache Iceberg within the Cloudera platform.
Ah, so you optimize where the data goes based on how it's used.
Exactly. And the savings are significant. We're talking validated TCO relief for SIEMs in the range of 30% to 60%. That frees up a lot of budget. It's not just a tech fix. It's a financial one.
Okay, so security mandates, logging costs. What's the third major driver? You mentioned governance earlier.
Yes, the ongoing struggle with enterprise data governance. This is maybe the most fundamental problem stemming from that federated, decentralized structure we talked about. And it's not just us saying it. The DOE's own Office of Inspector General, the OIG, has flagged this repeatedly in reports. They point to a lack of enterprise data governance, a lack of visibility across the complex.
Meaning a leadership can't always get the data they need to make informed decisions.
That's exactly it. The OIG says it hinders their ability to make critical decisions and even track progress towards program objectives. It's like trying to run a major corporation when each department keeps its books in a completely different way and you can't get a consolidated financial statement. The chief data officer, the CDO, is mandated by things like the Federal Data Strategy and the Evidence Act to manage data as a strategic asset. But they often lack the tools to actually do it across all those silos. They can't easily create an enterprise data catalog or enforce consistent security policies.
So they're mandated to do something but lack the mechanism to execute.
Precisely. It's a major deficiency. How can you reliably certify, say, a nuclear component if you can't trace the data lineage back through all the labs and contractors involved in its design, manufacture, and testing? You need that unified governance layer.
And this whole situation is unfolding against a backdrop of changing federal IT strategy, moving away from cloud first.
Right, the shift to cloud smart, which is really just acknowledging the practical reality. Cloud first was maybe a bit too simplistic. For an agency like DOE, with its critical national security missions and massive on-premise data generation from scientific instruments, putting everything in the public cloud was never realistic or, frankly, desirable. Some data must stay in those secure, air-gapped facilities.
So CloudSmart basically says, use the right tool for the job, which might be on-prem, might be cloud, might be a mix.
Exactly. It officially endorses a pragmatic hybrid approach. And that really validates the core architectural advantage of a platform like Cloudera, which is designed from the ground up to be hybrid, unlike competitors who might be primarily cloud native. It's about running the workload where it makes the most sense securely and cost effectively.
Okay, so the need is clear. Mandates, costs, governance gaps, strategic alignment. It all points towards needing a unified hybrid solution.
Let's pivot now. How does Cloudera actually deliver on this? What makes its architecture true hybrid?
Well, the core idea is managing everything on-prem, cloud, multiple clouds through a single pane of glass, a unified control plane. But it starts with two key deployment options. First, there's CDP Private Cloud Base. This is the workhorse for those secure, air-gapped environments we talked about. Think inside the SCIS at Los Alamos or Livermore handling classified data. What makes it suitable for that kind of lockdown environment?
It's specifically designed for physical isolation. Once it's installed, it doesn't need internet connectivity to run. That's crucial. And it supports features essential for that high security context, like setting up local repositories for software updates and container images. So everything stays within the secure boundary, including any AI models you might be running. This is absolutely required for handling secret RD, CNWDI, that kind of thing.
Got it. Secure and isolated. What about the other side? The unclassified research needing cloud flexibility.
That's where CDP Public Cloud comes in. This lets researchers leverage cloud resources like AWS GovCloud, where they're targeting FedRAMP moderate authorization soon for things like large-scale open science data analysis or collaborating with university partners. The really key thing, though, is that the experience for the user and the governance applied by the system are consistent, whether the data lives in the secure private cloud or the flexible public cloud.
Okay, consistency is good. But how do they move data between these worlds? Or even just upgrade systems without getting locked into proprietary formats? The labs hate lock-in.
That's a huge concern for them, understandably. The answer lies in embracing open standards, particularly Apache Iceberg for the data table format. Iceberg is a real game changer here. Because it's an open standard, it decouples the data from the specific compute engine or storage location.
Meaning you can access the same Iceberg table from different tools or move the data from on-prem to cloud or even back from the cloud.
Exactly. Without having to rewrite all your applications or data pipelines, it allows for true workload portability. If a lab invests heavily in building analytics on Iceberg tables within Cloudera on-prem, they retain the flexibility to potentially run those same analytics in the cloud later, or even move to a different platform that also supports Iceberg without a massive migration headache. It gives them that technology sovereignty they value so highly and avoids the vendor lock-in trap.
Okay, that handles the data portability. Now let's talk about the governance piece that solves those OIG complaints, the shared data experience for SDX. This sounds like the linchpin.
It really is. SDX is the unified layer that provides consistent security, governance, and metadata management across both the private cloud and public cloud deployments. It's the single pane of glass that the CDO needs. Under the hood, it leverages two powerful open source projects, Apache Ranger for security policy enforcement and Apache Atlas for metadata management and lineage.
Let's start with Ranger. How does it go beyond basic security for something as sensitive as nuclear data?
Ranger provides really fine-grained control. The key capability for the DoNSA environment is its robust support for attribute-based access control, or ABA. In a world with different data classifications like unclassified, secret, CNWDI, and different user clearances, Q, L, just using simple access control lists becomes incredibly complex and brittle.
So ABAC uses characteristics, attributes to make decisions.
Exactly. You define policies based on attributes of the user, like their clearance level, their role, maybe even their physical location, and attributes of the data itself, like its classification level, is it tagged CNWDI, or whether it contains PII. Ranger then enforces these policies dynamically.
Can you give a concrete example, maybe with that weapons component data?
Sure. Imagine a data set that contains both unclassified information about a component's material strength and highly classified CNWDI data about its specific design. With ABAC managed through SDX and enforced by Ranger, you can set a policy like allow users with Q clearance access to all data. For users with only L clearance, allow access to the table, but dynamically mask the CNWDI column or filter out any row tagged as CNWDI. So the L-cleared scientist can still query the unclassified parts, but they literally cannot see the sensitive information, even though it's in the same underlying table. And this policy is enforced consistently, whether they're using SQL, a BI tool, or running a Python script for machine learning. That's zero trust applied directly to the data.
Okay, that's powerful control. What about Atlas? What does it bring to the table?
Atlas provides the essential data lineage and metadata cataloging. For the DOE, this is critical for two reasons: compliance and scientific reproducibility. When you're certifying the nuclear stockpile or publishing results from a billion-dollar experiment, you absolutely need to be able to prove where the data came from and how it was processed.
The audit trail.
Exactly. Atlas automatically tracks the data's journey from the sensor or simulation that created it through all the cleaning, transformation, and analysis steps right to the final report or model output. This gives you end-to-end lineage. If auditors or maybe peer reviewers for a scientific paper question the results, Atlas lets you trace it all back. It even enables things like time travel queries on iceberg tables, letting you see exactly what the data looked like at a specific point in time. That's crucial for quality assurance and proving data integrity.
All right, this architecture, private cloud, public cloud, iceberg, SDX with Ranger and Atlas, seems to lay the foundation. Now let's connect it to the actual missions. Where does this platform make a tangible difference? Starting with the absolute highest stakes, stockpile stewardship.
Yeah, the nuclear mission. A huge push here is creating what they call the digital thread. The idea is to have an integrated data environment that connects everything in the weapon lifecycle, from the initial physics simulations at Livermore and Los Alamos, to the actual manufacturing of components at places like Kansas City or Pantex, through the ongoing surveillance testing of weapons in the stockpile, all the way to the final annual assessment reports that go to the president.
And right now, that thread is broken by data silos.
Often, yes. Getting data to flow smoothly and reliably across all those stages and different contractor run sites is a massive challenge. Cloudera's ability to manage data consistently across locations is key here. Specifically for the Advanced Simulation and Computing ASC program, the one funding the big supercomputers, Cloudera data engineering and data warehouse are vital. They need to ingest and analyze those petabyte scale simulation outputs from machines like El Capitan very quickly.
To inform those critical annual assessment reports.
Exactly. Those reports certify the stockpile's safety and reliability without underground testing. The faster they can process the simulation data, integrate it with experimental results and manufacturing data, the higher the confidence in the assessment. It directly impacts mission assurance.
But it's not just about analyzing huge simulation data sets, right? What about the operational side, like manufacturing?
Good point. The platform also needs to handle real-time transactional workloads. That's where the Cloudera operational database, which uses Apache HBase, fits in. Think about the process of manufacturing plutonium kits, the core of a modern weapon. Los Alamos is ramping up production, aiming for 80 pits a year. Every single step in that incredibly complex process needs to be tracked meticulously for quality control.
Real-time tracking.
Real-time, high-reliability tracking. HBase provides that fast, consistent database capability needed to log quality checks, material traceability, and process parameters as they happen on the manufacturing floor. Ensuring zero defects is paramount.
Okay, moving from the defense mission to the Office of Science, how does this help accelerate basic scientific discovery at the big user facilities? You mentioned the bottleneck earlier.
Right, the time to insight bottleneck. This is a huge source of frustration for the thousands of researchers using DOE facilities. You have these amazing machines, light sources, neutron sources, supercomputers generating data incredibly fast. But often the analysis takes weeks or months. By the time researchers get the results, their limited time on the machine might be over, or the discovery opportunity might have passed.
So near real-time analysis is the goal.
Absolutely. Take the SLAC, LINAC Coherent Light Source, LCLS. After its upgrade, it produces X-rays 10,000 times brighter. Scientists might only get a couple of days of beam time. They can't afford to wait weeks to find out if their experiment worked. They need to analyze diagnostic data as it's streaming off the detectors to potentially adjust the experiment parameters on the fly. Remember the advanced photon source generating 100, 200 petabytes annually? Same challenge.
That sounds like a job for streaming technology.
Precisely. Cloudera Dataflow, which bundles tools like Apache NiFi, Kafka, and Flink, is designed for exactly this. NiFi, in particular, is great at grabbing data streams right from the instruments. It can handle the messy reality of experimental data-changing schemas, sudden bursts of data, and reliably buffer and route it to the analysis systems, whether they're running on-prem HPC clusters or using cloud resources via CDP Public Cloud. It ensures no precious experimental data is lost.
This capability seems like it could be bigger than just one lab. Could it form the basis of a DOE-wide data infrastructure?
That's definitely part of the vision. There's this concept floating around called the High Performance Data Facility, HPDF. The idea is to create a more unified infrastructure for managing and accessing data from experiments across all the national labs. Imagine automated data routing, load balancing, making data from an experiment at Oak Ridge easily accessible to collaborators at Berkeley Lab almost instantly. Cloudera's federated architecture, governed by SDX, really provides a strong foundation for building out that kind of DOE-wide capability.
Okay, and connecting both science and security is the rise of AI and machine learning. How does Cloudera help manage AI, especially generative AI, securely in this sensitive environment?
This is a really hot topic, especially with labs like Los Alamos wanting to use large language models on classified data. The key challenge is security. You absolutely cannot send classified restricted data out to a public cloud AI model API.
You have to reverse the usual flow.
Exactly. You have to bring the models to the data. Cloudera AI is built with this principle in mind. It allows organizations to deploy and run AI models, including generative models, within their secure perimeter, right alongside the sensitive data in CDP private cloud base. And their integration with things like NVIDIA NIM microservices helps accelerate the deployment and performance of these models. They're citing things like 36x faster performance for inference.
So faster AI, but kept secure.
Right. And crucially, SDX ensures that even the AI models accessing the data are subject to the same rigorous ranger policies, the ABAC, the masking, the filtering. This is vital for supporting big DOE initiatives like the $67 million AI for Science program, which is focused on foundational models and using LLMs for scientific discovery. Cloudera provides the governed environment, feature stores, model registries, explainability tools needed to do that responsibly.
Okay, one more major area. The civilian energy mission, grid modernization and resilience, under the office known as CSER. Real-time data seems critical here, too.
Absolutely critical. Keeping the power grid stable and secure is fundamentally a real-time data challenge. You've got data streaming in from smart meters, AMI, high-frequency sensors on the transmission lines, PMUs, solar panels, wind turbines. It's a torrent. Delays in analyzing this data could mean failing to spot an impending blackout or, worse, a coordinated cyber attack.
So what's the role of the platform here?
Cloudera Streaming Analytics, again using Kafka and Flink, is used to process this high-velocity grid data in real time. This enables applications like anomaly detection, spotting weird voltage fluctuations, dynamic load balancing, and predicting when equipment might fail. It's about proactive grid management.
And the cybersecurity aspect for the grid's physical equipment. The operational technology.
That's where Cloudera Flow Management comes in, especially using the lightweight MiniFi agents.
Hmm.
These little agents can be deployed right out at the edge, maybe in substations or on control systems. They can collect telemetry data from industrial control systems, ICS, look at things like software bills of materials, SBOMs, to check for vulnerabilities or monitor firmware logs. NiFi then brings all that OT data back centrally.
And you correlate that with IT security data.
Exactly. You fuse the OT data with logs from IT systems and security tools in the Cloudera platform. This gives you a much better chance of detecting sophisticated threats that might cross the IT-OT boundary, helping meet those stringent critical infrastructure protection mandates.
Wow. Okay. So the platform touches pretty much every core mission area. We see the need. We see the solution. Now, let's get tactical. This is a huge, complex organization. Where should Cloudera focus its efforts? Who are the key targets? And what's the right message?
Good question. First, you have to constantly reinforce the unique selling proposition. Cloudera is the only platform that effectively bridges the mandatory on-prem classified world with the desired cloud flexibility at exabyte scale. Cloud-native competitors like Databricks. they fundamentally can't run in the required air-gapped environments. Other players, like Palantir, often seen as too proprietary, less open, and maybe not proven at the sheer scale needed for ASC simulations or photon-source data streams, Cloudera hits that hybrid sweet spot.
Okay, so within the DOE complex, who are the highest priority labs to target first?
You have to start with the NNSA's core weapons labs. They have the most pressing classified data challenges and the biggest budgets. Tier 1, Target 1 is Los Alamos National Laboratory, LANL. Biggest budget, around $4.86 billion. They're leaders in AI for national security, and crucially, they're the main site ramping up plutonium pip production. Their needs are immediate and critical.
And the entry point message for LANL?
Focus on the intersection of AML infrastructure and stockpile stewardship. Help them manage the massive data flows for simulations and, critically, provide the reliable data platform like HBase needed for quality assurance in that pip production mission. Solve the data challenges holding back their core missions.
Okay, LANL first. Who's next?
Second is Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, LNL. Budget around $2.5 billion. They host El Capitan, the big NNSA exascale machine, run the National Ignition Facility for Fusion Research, and are pioneers in cognitive simulation, blending AI and HPC, the entry point, managing the data deluge from El Capitan, getting insights faster, and partnering with their AI initiatives. They need to accelerate that simulation to insight pipeline.
And the third part of the NNSA triad.
Sandia National Laboratories, SNL. Also a huge budget, over $3.3 billion. Sandia is key because they manage sites in both New Mexico and California and are leading the deployment of the NNSA's secret cloud network. They have major federation challenges securely connecting and managing data across multiple sites and security levels. The entry point is helping them achieve that cross-site data federation, likely targeting their Center for Computing Research. SDX is the perfect story for Sandia.
Those are the core NNSA labs. What about the big Office of Science labs? Are they targets or more like places to prove the technology for broader adoption?
They're critical reference opportunities. Success at these labs, which often have more open collaborations, can be widely publicized. Think Oak Ridge National Laboratory, or ORNL, home of the Frontier Exascale System. They lead open science initiatives like SDIS, Scalable Data Infrastructure for Science. Winning here proves the platform scale for big science. Then Argonne National Laboratory, ANL, with the Aurora Exascale Machine and that huge advanced photon source upgrade. A perfect showcase for data flow managing massive experimental data streams. And don't forget Lawrence Berkeley Lab, LBNL, and NERSC, their supercomputing center serving thousands of scientists nationwide. They're leaders in networking with ESNet 6. Integrating well there is key.
Got it. So target the NNSA labs for the core mission needs. Use the Office of Science labs to build references and prove scalability. Now, the messaging needs to be tailored to who you're talking to.
Absolutely crucial. You can't give the same pitch to everyone. You need to speak their language, address their specific pain points.
Let's start at the top. The Chief Information Officer, CIO. What do they care about?
The CIO is thinking about the big picture. ROI, meeting mandates like zero trust, reducing overall complexity and cost across the enterprise, aligning with the DOE enterprise data strategy.
So the message for the CIO?
It's about unification and savings. Something like, Cloudera provides the single, unified control plane SDX to manage security policy and data lineage across your entire hybrid estate, from air-gapped labs to the cloud. This simplifies compliance, enables reuse of security controls for faster system authorization, and delivers 30-60% TCO reduction on your SIEM costs. Budget, compliance, simplicity.
Okay, what about the Advanced Simulation and Computing ASC Program Director?
Yeah.
The person responsible for actually running the simulations that certify the stockpile.
Their world is mission delivery. Their biggest pain is the bottleneck, the time it takes to get from a massive simulation run on El Capitan to actionable insights for the annual assessment. The message needs to be direct. Cloudera bridges the gap. We provide the unified platform to seamlessly connect your HPC simulation outputs with the AML analytics needed to interpret them. We help you slash the time to insight for stockpile assessment from months down to weeks, ensuring mission timelines are met. Speed to mission.
Makes sense. Now, the Chief Data Officer, CDO, who's dealing with that fragmented landscape and the OIG reports.
The CDO is judged on their ability to implement governance and deliver on the Evidence Act mandate, turning data into a real asset. They need tools to overcome the fragmentation. The message is empowerment. Cloudera delivers the enterprise data catalog via Atlas and the consistent governance framework via SDX and Ranger that you currently lack. We give you the tools to finally fulfill your federal mandates, gain visibility across all 17 labs, and manage data as a trustworthy strategic asset with provable lineage. We solve your biggest problem.
And finally, down in the trenches, the facility or instrument data lead, the person dealing with that fire hose of data from the LCLS or the advanced photon source.
They care about technical performance, reliability, and ensuring the science is reproducible. They worry about losing data during peak experiment runs. The message needs to be technically specific. Cloudera Dataflow, using NiFi and MiniFi, is built to handle the challenging reality of experimental data schema drift, back pressure during bursts, ensuring reliable ingestion from the beamline. The underlying iceberg format enables time travel queries for data validation and ensures reproducibility. It integrates smoothly with your existing ESNet infrastructure. We handle your specific technical headaches.
This is clearly a long game. It's not a quick sale. What's the overall takeaway here?
You're right. It requires sustained effort. DOE procurements are notoriously long. 18, 36 months isn't unusual. You need consistent engagement. But the central argument is incredibly strong. You have this perfect storm, exascale computing generating unprecedented data, critical national security missions demanding absolute data integrity and security, and federal mandates requiring modernization like zero trust and better governance. This creates a once-in-a-generation need for a platform that is truly hybrid.
And Cloudera's position is that it's uniquely suited because it handles the entire lifecycle from the sensor edge with MiniFi through massive data processing and AI, and does it consistently across both the classified must be on-prem world and the unclassified needs to be flexible cloud world.
Exactly. The key is that proven hybrid capability combined with the ability to scale. Cloudera manages tens of exabits globally for customers. They have the track record to handle the DOE scale while respecting those hard security boundaries that cloud-first vendors simply cannot.
And the impact goes way beyond just IT modernization or cost savings, right?
Oh, absolutely. Successfully implementing this kind of platform has profound mission impacts. You're talking about potentially accelerating the certification cycle for the nuclear stockpile. You're talking about dramatically increasing the speed of scientific discovery by slashing that analysis time. You're reducing cybersecurity risk by enabling true zero trust at the data layer with SDX.
The ultimate goal being enterprise standardization, getting all 17 labs onto this common platform.
That's the strategic prize, a multi-year enterprise-wide agreement. The ROI is compelling, significant cost savings per terabyte compared to managing fragmented legacy systems, plus the immense, almost unquantifiable value of accelerating the core science and national security missions.
It really does sound like the foundational data layer needed for the next decade of American innovation and security.
It really is. And for you, the listener, maybe the final thought is this. Getting this right, implementing this kind of unified hybrid data platform across the DOE complex, isn't just an IT project. It's a strategic investment that will directly influence how quickly the U.S. can ensure its security and make the next big scientific breakthroughs. It's that fundamental.
A powerful thought to end on. This has been incredibly insightful. We've covered a lot of ground on the strategic imperative for the DOE and NNSA to adopt a true hybrid data platform. Thanks for walking us through that complex landscape. Thank you for joining us on the Deep Dive.